Well, last week we began a series called Entrusted, where we began looking at the concept of stewarding the gospel in every area of our life. And last week, Mike kicked us off by just introducing the concept of stewardship and looking at how we could steward our wealth and our resources and all those things, our treasures that God blesses us with. And he kicked us off very, very well. And today, I'm going to continue. Last week was kind of an umbrella that he popped up, and it just kind of gave the overarching picture of things. And this is kind of a continuation of that, whereas the next 2 weeks, we're going to look a little bit more at some passages expositionally and kind of walk you through a passage and see, like the parable of the talents next week, right? And then what Paul's instructions to Timothy about entrusting. And so that's what we're going to do over the next couple weeks. But today, we're going to continue that overarching kind of view, a bird's eye view of what this thing called stewardship is. And we're going to look at it by way of our time and our vocations, okay? Am I on? I am on. Good deal. Okay, I can't hear myself. That's a beautiful thing. So Genesis chapter 2, we're going to be in verses 8 through 20 today, and Mike's already shared that. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 2. And then if you don't have your Bibles, it's going to be on the screen behind you. But I want us to hear again, continue the creation account and continue God's work in the early days of the creation of the world. So Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden, and this is what Mike was referring to earlier, to water the garden. And there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of the Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to all the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. And I'm going to go ahead and finish it. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. This is the word of God for the people of God, church. Thanks be to God. So today, again, we continue in this series that we're calling Entrusted. And we're going to talk about what it is to steward our time and our vocation. You know, when we take our membership vows, and many of us have heard this even at some other churches that we've been a part of, we pledge to worship the Lord with our time, our talents, our treasures, our gifts, our service, our witness, right? And anything else that the pastor wants to add. I'm just kidding. We talk about that. We vow to do that, right? And so what does it mean to steward our time? Man, at 45, that looks a little different than it did at 16. You know? You'd say that. In retirement years, it looks a little different to steward your time than it did when you were in the working years, right? As a parent with three kids, 15, 12, and 8 and 3/4, time is a treasure to me. The days are long, but the years are short, right? And then what does it mean to steward our vocation? Oh, man, Wimberly, you got to go there, don't you? I hate my job. Been there, done that. But you know what? God's Word's got something for all of us. And so I want to say, in these verses of Genesis 2, we see the concept of what's called vocational stewardship, okay? And vocational stewardship, by definition, is the intentional and strategic deployment of our knowledge, our networks, our influence, our skills, and our reputation. Let me say that again. Vocational stewardship, by definition, the intentional and strategic deployment of our knowledge, our networks, our influence, our skills, and our reputation to advance foretaste of God's kingdom. So in and through your life, you and I steward the gospel in our knowledge, our networks, our influence, our skills, and our reputation, right? And so far in this series, what we have heard is that God created a good and glorious world. Mike went there last week. And then he entrusts the ongoing work of subduing the earth and ruling creation to human beings who were made in his image and for his glory. So we call ourselves image bearers, okay? Do we realize that? That we are created, the image of God is an argument that we can argue for the rest of our lives. We were created in the image of God. And so when we begin to picture who God is and our deepest desire and our deepest longing, it's because we were created in his image and we bear that image in our lives. But here's the question for this morning. How in the world do we do that? How do we steward our time? How do we steward our vocations? Well, I think this morning we're going to see that there's some avenues in which we do this, which we steward the gospel through our times and through the avenues of our time and vocation. How do we make sure that our knowledge and our skill set and the gifts that we've been given, that only you've been given, that only I've been given, how do we do that in a way that honors God and glorifies God through our time and through our vocations? I'm only going to have one quote today, believe it or not, but it's going to be from my friend Tim Keller. He says this: God is a gardener, a builder, an architect, and he creates men and women to join him in this work of ordering creation. Isn't that beautiful? He has entrusted this creation to us, all these resources, all these things that he gave to Adam that Mike went through last week. And now he's saying, you know, you're gonna name the animals, you're gonna care for them, you're gonna take care of the garden. I'm giving it to you, I'm entrusting it to you. He's doing this as an act of ordering his creation. And so this morning, Moses shows us some vital things in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 about vocational stewardship. And I want to just give you three things to highlight from the very beginning. Number one, believe it or not, church, work is, say it with me, good. Now, I'm going to tell you that it's overrated, but it is good, okay? It is good. Work is good. Work also images God. We see that. God works. God created in 6 days. Do you know what that's called? He worked. But you know what he didn't do on the seventh day? He didn't work. Boy, America's got a lot to learn. Woo. And then work is also for the common good, okay? So work is good, work images God, and work is for the common good. So here's some questions we must answer. Why does this work matter? Why? Why work? Why not sit at home, right? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will die. Why does this work matter? Why does your work matter? Why does my work matter? And then, what is work? I think we can hopefully define all of that. Think about this. Work is good. In almost all the ancient accounts of creation, the gods create the world and enlist humans as their slaves. Work was seen as bad, and to be free of work was to become like the gods who lived in leisure. But the Bible says that God is a worker who worked with his own hands in the dirt, and he made human work, therefore he dignified it, right? Not only an effect of the fall, but also as something that is built into the goodness of creation. Work images God. How does that happen? Doing work is one of the ways we most reflect God and his own creativity. God is a maker. He's a creator. He's a worker. And work images God. Work is also for the common good. One of the most powerful ways we love is through our work, right? It's how we care for other human beings. It's how we use our gifts, our talents, our abilities to bless others, right? So many of you have blessed me through your skill sets and through the things that you take care of around here, because that's in your wheelhouse. It's who you are. That kind of thing is my bag, baby. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. I mean, that's what you do. And you bless others with it. So it's not just for you. The things that you've been given, the skill sets that you've been given, are not just for you to go out and earn money with, to provide for your family. It is that, but it's so much more. How many times have we asked this question around here? What if you're at Grace Life Church for me? What if God sent you for me? Remember those questions we've asked? What if God sent the person next to you for you? This is what we've got to talk about this morning. So this concept of work is good, we see all throughout Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. But I want us to highlight, first and foremost, something in Genesis chapter 2. But before we go there, we're going to learn that God worked to create and to order the cosmos. Okay, this is just why I'm probably OCD about this stuff. But God is a God of order. God is not a God of disorder. And so disorder disturbs me. Right? Probably because I'm OCD about some stuff. But disorder should disturb us because God is a God of order. Genesis chapter 1 talks about God's creation, and it is absolutely on time and on spot every time. He created something out of nothing, but he ordered the cosmos when he did. And so when our life looks in disorder, we're not reflecting the image of God. Do you see that, church? Do you see that? This is why planning, and this is why, I know you don't like to hear this, this is why we have to meet about some things, whether you like it or not. You can't just throw something out and say, man, we're going to do this. This is church. No, it takes careful planning and careful process of overseeing things. Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work. Okay, so God worked his work that he had done. Wasn't anybody else. And he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work, again, that he had done, again, in creation. So work is good. Work is good. God created to work and to order the cosmos. In verses 2 and 3, the word for work is one of two Hebrew words for work. It's not the one that means unskilled labor. It's the one that means skilled labor, the kind of a work a craftsman or an artist would do. God's work is skilled. His work is professional. His work is excellent. God's work is making the world what it wasn't before. He's making a masterpiece. God worked in the beginning, so work wasn't a necessary evil that came into existence later, that only something that God's creation, his creatures would do. No, God himself worked. And Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 teaches us that God was working from the very beginning, giving work inherent dignity and honor. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, we learn that work was a part of God's good plan for mankind, and we'll get there in a minute. The Lord made man in his image. He placed him in the Garden of Eden. Remember what we read? And then put them to work. He later made woman so that she could come and be Adam's man's helpmate, and she could help him. So this really means that work was a part of God's original and good design for our lives. Keep in mind something, church, before we move on, that all of this happened before sin came into the world in Genesis 3. Right? So part of work is good. But the sweat of the brow that we're fixing to get to, that comes later, okay? Part of work's not good. But work existed before the fall, right? So just remember that. Work was a part of life even in the paradise of God. So work is good. Secondly, work is a basic part of being human. You know, work is so basic to our existence that it's only one of the few things that we can take in heavy doses of without harming ourselves. The Bible says that we should work, right? He says, I've modeled it for you. I worked for 6 days and I rested on the seventh day. You know, I'm not advocating for a 6-day work week. I'm really not. If I was running for president, we'd work from 10 to 3 and we'd be bankrupt in 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we would. We just would. But that's just because I think it's overrated. But it's necessary. And God's modeled this for us. See, the work that we have seen in the world today, maybe we had a bad boss. Maybe we had somebody that was overbearing. Maybe we had a boss that didn't model this. Maybe he had unrealistic expectations and he worked 17 hours a week and you worked 67 hours a week. You know, I get that. But just because we've seen work go bad down here does not mean that God didn't intend it to be good. And so this is a basic part of being human. It's a basic human need, just like food and rest and friendship. Tim Keller says this, and I didn't put this one up there. He says, without meaningful work, we sense significant inner loss and emptiness. People who are cut off from work because of physical or other reasons quickly discover how much they need work to thrive emotionally, physically, and spiritually. You know, this is why a lot of people put off retirement for a long time. Some of you in here would say that, right? That you've been able to do that. Because you just say, man, I don't want to just stop, right? I don't want to quit. Because when I quit, oftentimes we see people quit and they lay down, right? We don't want to do that. So there's something instilled in us that we want to work. We want to make our life count. We want to take our skill set that's been given to us by somebody greater than a college degree or greater than any professor could ever give us. It's been given to us by the man who did, the one who designed us, God. And he said, go and work and go and bring me glory in the way that you do that. So work is this basic part of being human. Also, work is cultivation, okay? It's cultivation. It is a good and basic part of being human. You know, work is cultivation. In Genesis 1 and 2, we learned that God gave us work in order to cultivate his creation, right? To subdue and to have dominion over his creation. And then he put Adam in the garden. Listen to verse 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. See, he's ordering God's creation. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So he's cultivating this work, right? There's this undeveloped potential, even in this fallen world, that God wants us to cultivate. Remember when Mike was preaching last week, God created and it was good. God created and it was good. God created and it was good. But when God created man, it was what, church? Wow. Very good. Woo, we got to go back and do last week again, Mike. It was very good. Now listen, I dated some girls in high school that thought they were part of that creation. You know what I'm saying? Thought they were all that in a bag of chips and a Coke on the side. But guess what? That's not what he's talking about here. But when God created man, we bore his image. And so all these other things that he created, when he created us in his image and for his glory and breathed into us the breath of life, things were different. And he's asking us to cultivate this work. Think about this. How do we do this? This happens through farming and making music and designing clothes and cleaning a room and developing technology and teaching children and counseling people and making art and writing books or sermons or research papers, investing money, starting businesses, designing and building homes and buildings, right? All these things that we do, we're using the skill set that God's given us to cultivate the world. So anytime you give shape or form to something, you're doing what God made you to do. When we bring order out of chaos, we're cultivating the raw material of God's world, and this is what we call work. So it's cultivation. It's also service. I'm getting somewhere, I promise. Work is service. It's, you know, all of our cultivating should be done to serve others, right? Why do we do what we do every day? I hope you do it for more than just a paycheck. At first, that's why I worked, because I just wanted to get some money. And now it's just a little different. I need to lay my head down at night knowing that I've done something that makes somebody's life a little easier, right? You know, because that's what it's really about. You know, if you make all your money illegally, how do you look yourself in the mirror, right? If you don't leave the world or leave your workplace or whatever better off than when you found it, have you accomplished anything outside of a paycheck? And you got to pay taxes on that. And then when you die, there's a death tax. You know what I'm saying? I mean, seriously, there's got to be more than, you know, listen, Dad had a thing growing up, and it was beautiful, especially when we lost Obama for 18 years. It was a son with a kid on his knee, and it said, he was explaining to him the facts of life. He said, son, you're born, you grow up, you have high hopes, you pay taxes, you lose to Alabama, and you die. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so as a Tennessee fan, I get that, right? I get that. But there's more to life than that, is there not? God wants to use us to cultivate this world and to cultivate his creation and to serve others. And also, work is also a calling. I'm going to skip ahead to some New Testament, just so you see this. I know, again, this is an overarching thing. We'll be more expositional next week. Work is a calling. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:17. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. 23 and 22. I'm supposed to say 22 and 23. 23 and 24, sorry. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, whatever you do is your calling. Whatever you are doing, you are called, you're equipped to do. And listen, nobody's calling is better than anybody else's. It's all there together. So this work is a calling from God. Work is also, I got news for you, it's also painful. Work is painful. I've lifted a lot of dead weight over the last 12 years. Sorry. I just have. Sorry, this is tape too, isn't it? I mean, I have. And so my best friend right now outside of my wife is the little massage gun that she takes and just pop, 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 all down my spine, right? It's hard. Some of y'all drive trucks for long hours away from home. It's hard. Let me tell you something. I've seen people dig ditches. I've seen people dig graves. That's hard work. I've seen teachers go in schools and keep their mouth shut at all that's going on behind them. That's hard work, especially when you see their paycheck. Listen, it's hard work. Mr. Troy will tell you it's hard work getting underneath a car and trying to do something, right? Mr. Joe will tell you it's hard work staying from dusk to dawn to make sure that somebody's got a car, right? But I know that they do this, and they did this because this is what they're called to do. This is how they give back to the God that's given them their skill set. It's all hard what we do. Supervising people, Tammy would tell you, is an impossible task apart from Christ, right? Don't you just wish everything was easy like the insurance business? As Beth and Dad are laughing right now, right? And Mike too, right? Do you see this? It's hard. It's painful. Genesis chapter 3, look at this. And Adam said, and to Adam he said, he God, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree of which I've commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Work's painful. We're told that. Again, this is work on the other side of the fall, right? Because of the fall, work is painful. But here's the thing, church. Here's what I want us to get to, because I can't leave you here this morning. There is hope with and purpose in our work. Do you believe that? There's hope with and there's purpose in our work. Is there any hope for us in our work? Yes, as we work with all of our heart, here's what we seek to do. We seek to work to love God, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Work to love others. Sometimes that is work, isn't it? You know? I remember a couple that has been very influential in my life. On their 30th wedding anniversary, I texted them and told them how much they meant to me and how much PJ and I had really gleaned from their marriage. And the wife texts me back, I'll never forget it. She said, Brian, your words are overly kind. She said, God gave us perseverance to love each other even when we didn't like each other some days. And everybody married more than 1 second said, amen, right? We're broken people, right? So we seek to work to love God, to love others. We seek to work to reflect God's character. How about you and how about me? In our time, and in our vocations, are we reflecting God's character? Sometimes that's amen, and sometimes that's oh me, right? We work to provide and care for others. Listen, it is not wrong to make money. I used to think that, you know, man, it's not wrong to make money. It's how you provide and care for others, right? It's how you give back, you know? When we hoard it all to ourselves and when it becomes an idol in our life, it's different. But when we make money to go out and provide for those under our watch care and then to help provide for others, and that's what we do collectively as the church, right? And that's what I'm so grateful that we do collectively here at Grace Life Church. We realize that there's something bigger than all of us in this theater that we're living for, yes? And as God has blessed us, we bless others. And then we work for joy and for enjoyment, and we work to bring God glory. But here's ultimately where we're going to go. The final thing is, how do we work? What is it? What is all of this about? What's our motivation? Are we motivated to work to adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ? Paul told Timothy that he could be an ornament of the gospel. How about you? How about me? Are you an ornament of the gospel hanging on the tree of God? Right? Do you bring glory and beauty to this world, to your workplace, to those that you come into contact with, to those that you serve, to those closest around you? Do you adorn the gospel? And I adorn the gospel. Do we do that in and through our lives? People are pretty good at recognizing those who are more interested in themselves than in others, who care more about getting ahead than about loving and caring for the people they work with. If that's the aroma that you and I are giving off at our jobs and our vocations right now, then we are destroying our witness in the workplace. Listen, so many people in the world sabotage the gospel rather than adorn it by the way they go about it. And that's not what God's good design was for us, church. Here's some closing thoughts. Remember that no matter what you do, it's the King himself who's deployed you to your job. It's his call. So whether you sit behind a desk, whether you drive in a police car, whether you own a business, whether you dig ditches, whether you collect garbage, whether you sell cars, whether you serve the community in public service, whether you teach, you know, whatever you do, God's given that to you for your good and for his glory. Yes? He's deployed you. It's his call. Wherever he decides to deploy you, trust him and serve him well. You know? And realize that if you've just completely messed this up, God is a God of grace. Yes? And he gives us another opportunity. And here's what we need to remember most of all. As we give our time to things and as we steward the gospel in our time and steward the gospel in our vocations, it isn't necessarily what you are doing that really matters. It's who you're doing it for. Who's on the throne of your life? Is it you or is it the Lord? Is it the God who blessed you and wired you the way that he did? And is your time, the things that you give your time and your interest to, and the thing that we give the most of our days to, which is our workplace, right, and our homes, are we doing it for the right reasons? Is our motivation pure and holy? Because if we're seeking to do it to build up our kingdom, we've missed it. But when we attach our life to the life of God and we use those skill sets that he's blessed us with to give back to him and serve and love others the way he blesses us, I think we've just inched a little bit closer to the heartbeat of God and accomplishing his will for each and every one of our lives. Listen, this thing called stewardship is not easy. I know last week wasn't easy at all. This is not either. But it's necessary, and God's called us to it. Listen, we can accomplish lots of things in this world, but if our life is not about and is not about the gospel of Jesus Christ and doing all that we can do to steward that well, then at the end, my fear is that we're going to know that we've wasted our life. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste my life, church. And so wherever we are on our faith journey, hear the words this morning that we have been entrusted with a magnanimous task that cannot be accomplished outside of Jesus Christ living in our hearts. And so with our time this morning and with our vocations and everything that we give our time to, are we stewarding the gospel well for our good, for the good of others, and ultimately for God's glory? I offer this to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And let the church say amen.